You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
On March 26th, a South Korean military vessel called the Cheonan split in two and sank in disputed waters less than 10 miles off the coast of North Korea. 46 seamen on the Cheonan were killed. Soon, U.S. and South Korean fingers were pointing at North Korea. U.S. and Canadian media gave the accusations prominence. North Korea, for its part, denied any responsibility for the sinking. Nonetheless, the accusations fueled tensions. To discuss this issue, I'm joined on the phone by Eric Weingartner. He is editor of the CanCor website. CanCor is a Canadian interactive resource focused primarily on North Korea, officially known as the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, or the DPRK. Eric Weingartner has lived in North Korea, working there with the United Nations Food Program, and he joins me on the phone. Good afternoon, I guess, in Ontario, Eric, and welcome.
Yes,
to
we're just past noon here.
Welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio. Let's start with how the U.S. and South Korean governments tried to justify their accusation that it was a North Korean submarine that shot a torpedo that sank the South Korean naval vessel, the Cheonan.
Yes, well, if you remember, when the ship first sank, the South Korean government was quite circumspect. There was some confusion about what may have happened. They launched an investigation. They, in fact, invited even the opposition parties to take part in this investigation. It was called the Joint Civilian Military Investigation Group. And they invited a number of countries to take part in this as well, including Canada. Basically, five states joined the South Korean military in this investigation. They came out with a report not quite 2 months later, on the 20th of May, and basically the findings that they announced were that the ship sank because of an attack. So it was not an accident, it was not an internal explosion, it was not running aground or anything like that, but that the explosion was outside of the ship. They identified it as a what they call a bubble effect explosion, and that this is caused by a certain type of torpedo that explodes outside a ship and the intends on damaging the ship through a kind of an exploding bubble. And then the third and most important finding then was that the torpedo parts that they recovered seemed to indicate that it was manufactured by North Korea. Specifically, there was a marking on it in Korean, actually hand-painted on. In translation, it would be number one. And they compared this to another North Korean torpedo that had similar markings, in fact, almost identical markings. So those were the results that the so-called Joint Investigation Group, or JIG, announced to the public.
Do you find that case compelling, or do you have doubts about that scenario?
Well, to begin with, just to say that I'm not an expert in these things, so technically I cannot make a judgment on it. However, there have been a number of serious questions being asked about this, and the evidence seems to be increasing that the conclusion is not a foregone conclusion. In other words, there have been questions asked about the, for example, the international nature of the investigation, whether indeed anyone other than the South Korean military were involved in the investigation. One of the members of the investigation group that had been appointed by the opposition parties, the Democratic Party in South Korea, actually came up with a minority report where he indicates that the sinking was a result of running aground, in other words, an accident. He was then dismissed from the from this joint investigation group, and in fact, the defense ministry sued him for intentionally creating public mistrust in the results of the investigation. And in the meantime, there have been other academics, two U.S. academics, for example, Sung-hun Lee and J.J. Su of University of Virginia, who have done their own investigations based on their own knowledge, on their own testing, their own simulations, and using as much of the official report as they could get their hands on to compare, and they dispute all the three major findings of the investigation group. So they are now at an expert level, serious questions asked about whether one could state unequivocally that this was the result of a North Korean torpedo attack.
You mentioned the international representatives on this South Korean investigation. Aside from the United States, what were those other countries, and what's their history in relation to conflicts between South and North Korea?
Well, four of the five that have been mentioned, USA, Australia, Canada, and the UK, of course, were all allies with the United States in the Korean War, the UN-sponsored western part of the coalition. So those would, one might want to ask whether there might have been a better representation of also neutral countries involved. Sweden was involved, and that is a neutral country. And strangely enough, in the announcement of the results, Sweden is not mentioned. It's mentioned that there are five states that were part of this investigation group, and then it mentions only the other four that I have named. I asked some of my contacts in Sweden, in the Swedish government, to clarify this. The only clarification I actually got was that the Prime Minister of Sweden has endorsed the findings of the investigation group, but it still is unclear whether the Swedish experts were that unequivocal.
And you mentioned that Canada was a part, but I gather there's some evidence as to whether the Canadian people designated to be part of this South Korean-U.S. investigation of the sinking had much of a role to play. Could you give us a little bit of an idea of that controversy?
Yes, well, the thing is, Canada did send three experts. It was led by a Navy captain, Steve Virgin. They were experts on, obviously, on naval technology and submarine technology. But our foreign minister, Lawrence Cannon, announced that they were going on the 16th May. That was the announcement, and at the time he was saying that they are now leaving, so one would assume they left on 16th of May. They would have arrived there on the 17th, what with the time difference crossing the date line, which means they're arriving on the 17th rather jet-lagged, and the conclusions were announced on the 20th, that would be the 19th in Canada time. So there's virtually roughly 2 days that they may have actually been able to look at the results of the investigation. That hardly seems enough time for them to have been involved enough to make the kind of firm conclusion that the government of Canada then came to. and which they have endorsed. So there's still big questions about what was the international nature of this whole joint investigation group.
And how does the South Korean accusation that it was a torpedo and North Korea's, again, posing dangers of war and so on, how does that fit into the politics of the new South Korean president?
Well, of course, there's been a conjecture that this rapid announcement was in part announced already on the 20th, because basically the 20th was the beginning of election campaigns for local elections in South Korea, and knowing that the current president Lee Myung-bak has from the beginning of his tenure taken a rather hard line on North Korea, one could conjecture that this played well into his hands to try to increase support during the local elections. It didn't quite work that way. He lost in the elections. There was quite a bit of reduction in his support, although it's not clear whether that had anything to do with the Chonan situation or not. The fact of the matter is that in South Korea now, 20% of the public does not believe that North Korea is the culprit in this. Now, this may seem still to be a minority, but if 20% do not believe, then the rest of the 80%, one wonders how many are firmly convinced that it was the North and some, and how many have questions about that. I haven't seen polls in that respect. But, I mean, in general, in terms of the politics of the region, the other player that is involved here, obviously, is the United States. And we have seen the policies of President Obama on North Korea have been a bit of a puzzle right from the beginning. Obama announced that he is willing to talk to even rogue governments, but this has not really happened with regard to North Korea. North Korea has been rather puzzled about this too. And so some of those who would say that North Korea is the culprit would say that they were trying to get more of Obama's attention than has already been gotten from their nuclear test the year before. So there are a variety of politics that enter into the equation. I mean, you have China, of course, major power of the region. You have Japan involved as well. So each of these countries that is involved in, for example, the six-party talks has their own national interest in mind when they come to a problem like this.
And meantime, the United States has a major military exercise along with the South Korean military.
Well, they're in a bit of a quandary now, having so firmly stated that this was a North Korean action, and then having taken it to the United Nations Security Council with expectations that they could convince China to again support further sanctions on North Korea. That didn't happen, and I would say it didn't happen because of the rather inconclusive and shoddy investigation report. In fact, no one has outside, not even the opposition in South Korea, has seen the full report. All that we have seen is a five-page summary of the findings, and this is one of the problems in all of this. So at the UN Security Council, China could argue that the case has not been made that North Korea is the culprit. There is enough of reasonable doubt about this, and that therefore the UN Security Council cannot come out with further sanctions and cannot come out with a clear statement that North Korea is the culprit. So they did come out with a statement, a so-called presidential statement from the UN Security Council, which condemns what they call an attack on the Chonan, but doesn't lay blame. They note the South Korean investigation results, but they also note that North Korea denied being involved, that they had nothing to do with it. And then the statement goes on to, with the usual, to avoid conflict, to avoid escalation, to maintain peace, to resume dialogue, and so on and so forth. So what you had is a rather weak statement coming out of the Security Council. Immediately, of course, United States, South Korea proclaimed victory that, you know, they had now the backing of the United Nations. But North Korea also came out with a statement that they were victorious, that nobody is actually believing this. Now the military exercise is kind of the response, not only the exercise, but also Clinton has announced new sanctions on North Korea and a tightening of the sanctions that already exist. The joint military exercises are bigger than they have been for years. Aircraft carrier George Washington has arrived in Busan in South Korea and will be part of this, and there's some 200 ships and all kinds of aircraft that are involved in this exercise. So this is a kind of a show of force to try to convince North Korea that South Korea is still fully supported by the U.S., and trying to push North Korea to back off and to rejoin six-party negotiations, basically. China is worried about this and repeatedly asks all the sides to calm down. Originally, the United States wanted to send the aircraft carrier into the Yellow Sea as well, and China vehemently objected, has always objected, to any U.S. ship in the Yellow Sea. And so it seems that in the last day or two, the U.S. has backed down on that, and it appears that the aircraft carrier will not enter the Yellow Sea.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us today and providing a different viewpoint than we've had so far in the mass media. Appreciate that, Eric.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with Eric Weingartner. He's editor of the CanCor website. CanCor is a Canadian interactive resource focused primarily on North Korea, officially known as the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. And you can go to that website. It's CANKOR.ca.